Welcome to the Instagram stories for Wednesday, June 24th. I'm your host, Daniel Hill. Before we get into today's news, I would like to mention that I am looking for ad partners. Those of you who listen to this show are primarily social media marketers, professional content creators, small business owners, and agency founders. If you have a product or a service that you think would be a good fit for those categories of listeners, please send me a DM at Daniel Hill Media. I would love to have you advertise on the show. I will send you a media kit with all the information about the demographics of the people who listen to this show and what the stats are. All right, let's move on to the news. In today's episode, we'll be talking about Meta launching cheaper smart glasses without Ray-Ban, saving you $80. We'll talk about YouTube's Ask Studio. If you're not familiar, it's a tool that can help you analyze your videos and help you determine what sort of content you should be making. We'll talk about it. And in the strategy portion of today's episode, we'll talk about what happens when you have a video that is performing well. Should you post a video immediately after or wait a little bit longer? We'll also talk about how to convert viewers to followers. Five tips, you'll want to hear it. All of that on today's episode, but first, here's a quick word from our sponsors. Welcome back. To jump into the news, let's talk about Meta launching cheaper smart glasses without Ray-Ban. Here is the CEO of Meta, Mark Zuckerberg, to explain.
We're announcing our new line of Meta glasses, and this is the first line of glasses that we have designed from the ground up to be great-looking, comfortable glasses, accessible to a lot more people. We're selling them for $299, so we're quite excited about this. This is going to be something that you wear. It has to be great glasses first. It's almost fashion first and technology second. You integrate the technology into something that are good glasses first, rather than the other way around. And when I look at others who have tried to approach the space and haven't done it as well, they kind of design the technology first, and then they're like, ah, let's make it look as good as possible. But as good as possible isn't good enough. It needs to be great glasses first. It's important to me that what we design brings some new ideas into the world. You know, one of the things that I've really liked that we've done is this kind of semi-transparent design. You can just very subtly see some of the electronics inside. You know, one of the things that I've been thinking about is, you know, most great glasses brands have kind of iconic design elements. And we've basically been working on refining the way that ours feel, especially around the lens in the corners, which I think is kind of developing to be this iconic part of these glasses. And I think refining that and playing with the aesthetics on different versions, this is something that I think, you know, when people see these, we want people to feel like, hey, yeah, those are Meta glasses. That's kind of the cool element that I see that and I know what that is.
If you are interested in Meta glasses and you were holding off previously because of the price, definitely check these out. I will link to Mark Zuckerberg's Instagram post in the show notes so you can check it out for yourself. Let's move on to the next topic. Typically on this show, I try to do as much news as possible and some strategy as well. Today's episode is going to be more strategy focused. Let's start with the YouTube strategy. YouTube recently added a tool called Ask Studio. If you're not familiar with it, it's an AI tool that you can access through YouTube Studio. It analyzes your post history. It helps you understand your analytics and come up with ideas and more, all based off your existing content and your goals. Renee Ritchie from the YouTube Creator Insider team did a short video as a guide to Ask Studio talking about how you can leverage it. Here's the clip.
In this video, I'm going to show you how to get started with YouTube's incredibly powerful Ask Studio tool so you can unlock even more insights about your channel, videos, and audience. Hello, insiders. I'm Renee Ritchie, a longtime creator now working at YouTube, and here's what's up. If you clicked on Ask Studio, checked out the suggested clips, but then felt stuck on what to do next or how to find the most value, here are a few prompting pro tips. One, use natural language. Just tell Ask Studio what you're curious about or what you want to know the way you would a friend or a colleague. Two, be detailed. In other words, help Ask Studio help you. Be clear. Instead of give me ideas from comments, try based on the comments in my short with the title Best Moments from the World Championships, give me three ideas for my next video. Be concise. Instead of reinventing terms, use the labels you see in YouTube analytics already, like traffic sources or new viewers, to help Ask Studio identify and pull the correct data sets. Give context. Instead of give me a title, try give me a catchy title for my video about best moments from the World Championships for a new audience. Be conversational. Instead of just what are the main themes appearing in the comments of my latest video about the best moments from the World Championships, once you've gotten a response, follow up with looking at the feedback on the best moments in the World Championships, summarize why viewers are asking for more comparisons. Because Ask Studio is meant to be a creative partner, a tool that you can jam with to overcome the tyranny of the blank page or more rapidly iterate on your ideas. It understands your specific channel and brand to provide personalized recommendations. And you're always the one in control, whether you're roasting video outlines or brainstorming thumbnail concepts. And your channel data is private and secure and visible only to you. Also, Ask Studio is always expanding, so keep trying new and different prompts, even ones that may not have worked the way you expected before. Give it a try. Let us know your thoughts and questions in the comments, and keep it real.
Okay, I think this is an incredibly powerful tool. If you've ever felt overwhelmed by YouTube and you're not sure where to go next, definitely take a look at this video. I will link to it in the show notes. By the way, Meta is working on something similar. I will be sharing that as I know more about it. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to answer the question about if you have a piece of content that's performing well, when should you post the next piece of content, and how to convert viewers to followers. Stick around. Welcome back. Continuing with the strategy portion of the episode, someone sent a message to the head of Instagram asking, if I have a video performing well on Instagram Reels, do I let it hit its peak or do I keep posting to stay consistent? This is a really good question. Here's Adam's answer.
The question is, if you make a post and it's doing really well, should you wait for that post to peak before you post the next thing, or is it just fine to post the next thing right away? The truth is, people worry way too much about timing of when they post. It doesn't actually affect reach that much, but if you really want to optimize it, I would only wait to post the second thing if it's only been a few hours. If it's been a half a day or a day, just feel free to post that second thing, because the truth is, as far as the ranking system is concerned, they're two completely independent events and they're not going to interfere in any way. You just want to make sure that for people who follow you, they don't feel like they're getting bombarded with content from you, because that can sometimes lead to less engagement and therefore less reach. So hopefully this helps. More to come. Peace.
All right. And the last topic we're going to talk about today, how to turn viewers into followers. This video comes from Madison Bravenick. I've played some of her clips before on the show because she had thousands of followers and she decided to start all over from scratch to prove that she could do it again. And some of the clips that she shares, I think, are really insightful. This one specifically talks about the importance of showing your face on camera. I'm guessing if you're listening to this show, you are comfortable doing that, but plenty of people are not for a variety of different reasons, and those can certainly be valid. But I do think that if you overcome that fear and you're willing to show your face on camera, you can go a lot farther. Here's the clip from Madison.
This is the number one way to convert viewers into followers. Speak, I beg of you. Talk to the camera. Nobody will get to know you and feel connected to you if you're not talking to them. Don't be a stranger. I get it. Talking to a camera can feel really weird and foreign at first. It can be intimidating, but here are five tips to get you on the right track. Number one, do something while you're talking. Do your makeup, make a coffee. Doing something to keep your hands busy makes you feel more comfortable, but it also makes the audience more engaged. Number two, exercise exposure therapy. If you're nervous talking to your camera in your house, go outside and film right now. Go to the grocery store, go to the mall, and talk to your camera in public. I know that can be scary, but it'll help you grow in the long run. Once you conquer talking to the camera out in the wild, talking to your camera in your home is a breeze. Tip number three, get a little mini mic. Not only does it give you something to do with your hands, but when you're in public, you don't have to talk as loudly. You can talk a little bit quieter, but still get the same good quality. Number four, pretend you're on FaceTime with somebody. Ditch the robotic, like, influencer accent and try your best to just talk like you would to your best friend. And lastly, number five, practice, practice, practice. You really have to think of it like a skill or a muscle that you want to strengthen. Talking to a camera doesn't feel normal at first to anybody, but the more you do it, the more normal it becomes. When I'm talking to my camera, I literally feel like I'm talking to my friends. I hope this helped, and I hope to see you talking to your camera soon. Bye.
I think this is incredibly important. If you are not comfortable talking on camera, send me a message at Daniel Hill Media. I will help you to get comfortable on camera just to support you, because I think that's how important it is. That is going to do it for today's news and strategy. If you want to hear Wednesday Waffle, where I talk about another topic that may or may not be related to social media, stick around after the music.
I'm not yet a member of the Instagram team, but my podcast covers many Instagram themes. But the name, image, logos, are trademarks at Instagram and the LCC in the USA and every territory. Everything I publish independently until Zuck returns my DMs and starts to pay my salary. Not sponsored or endorsed, no lies, no fallacies. I use their logo with permission. Not malicious or callously, no trademark violation, filling all criteria. Follow me on Instagram or Twitter at Daniel Hill Media.
Oh, hey, thanks for sticking around to hear me talk about something else. Every year, my wife and I put on an audio event. What we do is rent headsets, we hire DJs, and we have a party. And the DJs play music, and the headsets allow you to switch between the channels so you hear a different DJ on each channel. Every year, we try to do it a little bit differently. And this year, we decided to plan a no-phone audio event, meaning that you had to leave your phone in your car to come into the event. You might be asking, Daniel, why would you plan such an event? Because many times people, myself included, spend too much time staring at the phone when they could be making new friends. And I'm just as guilty of that as anyone else. We planned this event. We had about 75 people and it was fantastic. I never saw anyone look at their phone the entire night. It was just so amazing to see. The next day, I saw some of my friends who were at the event, and they told me that they saw someone get a piece of paper, write their phone number on it, and give it to someone else. This brought me back to my pre-phone days when you had to get a phone number on a piece of paper and hope you didn't lose it and hope you wrote it down correctly so that you could call that person in the near future. You had to wait at least 2 days. Everyone waits 2 days. I would wait 3 days. 3 days is pretty much an industry standard. Anyway, it was just really nice to plan an event where not everyone was on their phones the whole night and could actually make a connection. So if that's something that's interesting to you, plan an event and tell your friends they can't bring their phones. All right, thanks for listening to me talk about something else for a minute.